Amen. Romans chapter 12. We're just doing things just a little bit different here at Crossroads this Sunday. Here's what I figured. If I preach first, I can go as long as I want. Amen. And then we'll fit in everything else. Actually, there's a little bit different reason there. We've been preaching since the first of the year about the mind. Is that me, Justin, or you? I'm getting a... It's me? That's what happens when you change things up. All right, we'll just deal with it, I hope. Okay. We've been preaching about the mind for the last 6-7 weeks and talking about the wonders of how God works in our minds, in our hearts. Our heart thinks. If you didn't know that, the Bible tells us that. And in that, I want you to go to Romans chapter 12. We looked at this a few weeks ago, but we're back. The Bible tells us in verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in eat recompense no man evil for evil. Provide honest things in the sight of all men. Be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's go back to verses 1 and 2 because this sets the foundation of this entire chapter. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your love for us. I pray
you would help us this morning to have a better understanding of your word. And God, as we go through this service today, God, may our hearts and minds be stayed upon you and you alone. Father, help us in this, that we may get our minds to a place where we can concentrate on you, where we can focus on you, where we can just get rid of all of the distractions around us in our lives, whether physically or spiritually speaking. God, may we see you. Help us this day in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And amen. 7 years ago, a little over 7 years ago now, when Rachel and I moved to Mobile, we had never been to Mobile before. I hadn't anyway. It had been a long time since she had been to Mobile. And when we got off the interstate, we were coming here to Crossroads. We got off on I-65 at Airport Road. And I'll never forget, I had pastored at a church in Indiana for previous 6 years in a town of about 2,800 people. 2,800 people is not a big town. We had one stoplight. We knew most of the town, or at least most of the town knew us. And it was an amazing change for us to go from there coming to here. I'll never forget driving down Airport Road, six lanes of traffic all the way across. And we're looking at everything. I mean, we're like, oh, look, there's that. Look at that. They have that store. They have that store. Oh, my goodness, where are we? And we just kept driving, and it seemed to never end. And we passed, restaurants and businesses. We saw the big hospital, and I hadn't seen a hospital with more than 3 floors in a long time. Drove by Providence Hospital, and we were amazed. And then we came out, and we met the church and all of that, and it was just, everything was new and fresh. And the next day we drove around trying to learn Mobile and looking at houses and different things that we were doing, but we were learning all of that. We learned when we moved here just a few months after that. We were driving down the road, and we noticed that several roads, the same road, have different names. Talk about confusing. I mean, we're like, okay, is this Snow Road or is this McFarland? What is it? Can anyone tell me? It's both. This was new to us. We turn, if you get on Schillinger Road and you turn, you turn left on one way and the other way is Old Government. It's nowhere near Government. We were confused, and it was new to us, but we noticed all of that. You know, when I drive down Airport today, I don't notice anything. I mean, unless it's new construction, I just don't notice it, because it's familiar. Everybody with me? It's familiar. I know it. I can get in the car and drive all over Mobile some days without thinking, or thinking very little. It's like old hat. I know where I'm going. I'm not really giving it much thought. Before, whenever having to visit new people, or all of you were new to me at one point, I had to get the church directory out, and I had to, at that time, I had a GPS that I'd stuck on the window of the car and put in the address, because I had no idea where I was going. Well, now I just get in, and I have no idea what your address is, but I know where you live. Amen. Don't forget that. I know where you live. It's just an old hat. It becomes familiar. And again, sometimes when we go through that type of thing, we can do things without thinking. Now, what am I trying to illustrate here this morning? Well, it's possible. Let me say it this. If it's possible to drive down the road without thinking. I mean, we're going from point A to point B, and we pass everything in between, and we give it very little thought. You know, I think it's possible that we do that in our spiritual lives too. We have a point A and we have a point B and we know where we're going, but we stopped paying attention somewhere down the line, somewhere down the road. We just kind of checked out. We're just getting in and we're driving. So why are we changing things up today? Well, this is new construction. I want you to be able to pay attention to what God has to say. Not what I have to say, because I have very little to say. Some of you may be wondering, why do you preach so long then? Well, don't ask questions that I can't answer. But I want you to be able to pay attention. And sometimes we've got to change something up in order for God to speak to our heart, for us to say, God, what are you doing here in my life? In Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. What Paul is saying to Christians and to believers, he's saying, I want you to pay attention here. I want you to take note of what's taking place. He says, I beg of you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now hold on just a second. This idea of a living sacrifice is something that is new. Typically, when you have a sacrifice, especially in the Bible, most sacrifices, folks, they were dead. Amen? They were dead. I mean, they may have been alive at one time, but the purpose was, and the idea was, you're going to kill it in order for it to be the sacrifice. Well, Paul is changing this here by saying, I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, one that is holy, acceptable unto God. But notice this phrase here. He says, which is your reasonable service. He says, it's reasonable for God to ask that. Notice in verse number 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world. He says, don't be like this world. He says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, he's talking about transforming. When I was a kid, the toy came out, Transformers. How many know what I'm talking about? If you're 40 or under, you should know this. Actually, if you're older than that, if you have children my age, you should know this, because they wanted a Transformer. The Transformer, when it came out, of course, it was a car, and cars have been around for a long time. Little boys have played with cars, and girls have played with cars for a really long time. But this was a new twist on your everyday car. I mean, this was not your average Hot Wheels, because these cars transformed. They had the saying, I'll never forget the commercial. It was, you know, Transformers. More than meets the eye. How do you remember that? Matt, you remember that. I know you do. And when you heard that, you wanted a Transformer, didn't you? Absolutely. Transformers, robots in disguise. That's what it was. It was a car that was going to transform into a robot. And they were a hit. It's been a hit for a long time, as a matter of fact. But you know, when God is talking about a transformation, he's not talking about cars and robots. He's talking about the Christian life. He's talking about the Christian life in a way that he's saying, I want you to be transformed. How are you going to do that? He says, you're going to have to renew your mind. Now, I've been guilty of this many years and many times in ministry. These two verses of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, are powerful verses. They're verses that I've had memorized for a really long time, but it doesn't stop at verse 2. How many of you noticed that? I've been guilty of this. I'm stopping at verse number 2. But verse number 2 has verse number 3 that follows it. Notice what he says. He says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Three times Paul says, think. 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 What are we talking about? If we're going to transform our mind, what are we thinking with? We're thinking with our mind. He's getting ready to tell us how we can be transformed. Well, as we read through this, he says not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly. Well, hold on a second. We have a tendency to be proud. Pride comes into our lives. Now, I know we go in and we say, you know, well, I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be a Christian. And I know that might be a little bit different type of pride than what we're talking about here, but the type of pride in this is that, hey, I'm better than you. I'm better than you. And I'm better than everybody. And everybody's under me, and maybe not everybody, but at least you are. Yeah. And so here we have this idea that he's saying, look, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. This idea of soberly is not excessively. What he's saying is, don't think of yourself so highly that you're not like everyone else. You see, the Bible still says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have sinned. We all have sinned in our lives, and we start thinking of ourselves maybe just a little bit better. That's when the Bible says we're starting to get a little off track here. So if we're going to transform, how are we going to do this? Because we're transforming from one area of our lives into another. Now, this is something else that I've tried to learn and take note of over my Christian life, and something that I'm still learning and working on and coming to know in my life, is a transformation is not an overnight process. It's not an overnight process. The transformation probably takes a lifetime. What do I mean by that? Well, here is the way I'd like to illustrate it. I wanted to bring a bag of clothes in here. So you're going to have to use your imagination today, okay? Because I figured it would embarrass my wife if I brought our dirty laundry in here and spread it all over the place. Not that we have a lot of dirty laundry. She keeps up the laundry, I promise. But occasionally we'll have dirty laundry. And then we have clean laundry. Amen? It's good stuff. But usually what you don't have, you might do this, I do not. I usually don't take my dirty clothes and mingle them with my clean clothes. You do that? That's what? Trifling. In case you're wondering, that's trifling. All right. You don't mix your dirty clothes with your clean clothes. But can I tell you something in your Christian life, that's what you're doing? When we get saved, we get a new being that comes into our heart when I'm saved. Hallelujah. But it mixes with the dirty. So I want you to picture that I have a bag here, and I've just dumped out all the clothes. Some are dirty, some are clean. How are we going to decipher between the two? Ooh, that's trifling. They're up here saying, smell them. Girls are saying, smell them. Catherine's saying, smell them. Brother Scott's saying, smell them. How do you tell if your clothes are dirty? You smell them. Clean clothes. That is one way. So what I might do is I might pick up an article of clothing. Now, some articles of clothing, can I just tell you, you can look at it and you just know that's dirty. You just look at it and you know it's dirty. We helped Terry move yesterday, and I came home dirty. I mean, there would be no question if I pulled out what I was wearing yesterday, you'd say, hey, those are dirty. You wouldn't have to get close enough to even smell them. It's true. I had some white and gray on, and the white changed the same shade as the gray. It's just, that's what happens when you move. You work, you get dirty, and in life you get dirty, but you pull that dirty clothes up and you say, I don't even have to smell these. I don't want to smell them. It's dirty. So I discard it over there. It's dirty, right? Then I pull a shirt up and, oh, well, this one's clean. Now, one, I know it's clean because I haven't worn it. Yeah. So I take that and I set it over here. And not only am I going to set it over here, but I'm also going to fold it to be able to put it away where it goes because I want to care for it because this is clean clothes. And one at a time, I began to pull out the clothing and I'm separating the dirty and I'm separating the clean and the new. Some of you have clothes in your closet that still have tags on them because you've never worn them. I have clothes in my closet that I have tags on that I've never worn because I thought it would fit, and it didn't. Hey, can I tell you, spiritually speaking, now get this, I'm trying to illustrate something here. We get all the clothes that we're ever going to need, but some of our clothes spiritually don't fit yet. Some of you are going to process that in your mind. They just don't fit yet. How many are with me? Say amen. All right. Dirty clothes, I've got to cast off. So how am I going to transform? How am I going to put this in my mind? Well, number one, stop trying to be perfect all at once. Did you get that? Stop trying to be perfect all at once. What we just were illustrating there is you're going to have to go through that laundry one piece at a time. When you find the dirty, you put it off. You remove it. Notice as he's going through here in Romans chapter 12, he says he's talking about the body of Christ. Again, if we're a body and we have a body there, we have these things that are taking place in our lives. He says, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, what he's talking about here is, you know what? We're a body, but we're all different. Amen. Aren't you glad we're different? I know I am. I couldn't imagine if everyone was like me. It would be utter chaos. Wouldn't be any squirrels. We'd kill them all. But it'd be utter chaos. Can you imagine if everyone was like Bob? Now, if everyone was like Bob and me, the world would be fixed. That's true. Because Bob and I have fixed the world four times. Four times in one night. With four different positions. But we fixed it. No, of course not. The world were all like Bob and I, it would be a mess. It would be an absolute mess. God made us different. You see, he made some, and he goes through here, some prophesy, some minister, some exhort, some do it with simplicity. Oh. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy, cheerfulness. Notice verse number 9, though. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Now, that's a big word right there. Let love be without dissimulation. What's he talking about? That's a false appearance. You ever come up and somebody's nice to you or whatever, and you say, yeah, that just wasn't genuine. I just didn't find that to be too genuine. Well, that's why the Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. Don't give it a false appearance. Oh, we're nice, we're kind, but oh, we're really not. Now, notice this. He says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now, this word abhor is a very important word. Now, in the first definition of abhor, it means hate. hate that which is evil. And oftentimes, we concentrate on that. And we say, oh, we're to hate that which is evil. And we're to hate sin. And we're to do this. And we're to do that against sin. And oh, bless God, it's awful. And you know, sin is awful and sin is bad, and we are to hate sin and all of that. But can I just tell you, in this usage of the word abhor, it's not what it's talking about. Oh. Now, it's not talking about love sin. Notice the context here. He says, let love be without dissimulation, not a false appearance. He says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now, cleave means to hold on to as tight as you can. Okay, there is a different definition of the word abhor. How we can get the right definition from the word cleave in the same verse? If cleave means to hold on, when we look up the word abhor, it means to cast off. To cast off. So what are we doing? We're going through that laundry. This is dirty. Cast it off. This is clean. I'm keeping it. This is good. Let's put this over to this side. Dirty. Yeah. All of over there. Abhor that which is evil. Cast it off. Like I said, some of those things that we can pull up and we just know this is dirty. Cast it off. Abhor that which is evil. Abhor that. Now there are other things that while we may be able to look and say, you know what, this is evil. There are other things that we just look at and on the surface we say, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm good with that. It's all good. But then we come to find out, maybe the little closer we get to it, oh, it's not so good. Or maybe we put it on and as we worked through the day, I'd asked several times, I said, hey guys, Are your all shirts smelling like mine? Did I say something along that effect? It started to stink. I started to stink. I didn't want to be around me. I didn't know how they wanted to be. But I'm like, oh, this is awful. You know, sometimes we go around and we realize, I was talking to somebody at the hospital earlier this week, and they said, gave me this illustration. They didn't know they were giving me an illustration, but he said, yeah, I went out and let the dog out this morning, and when I went to let her in, I came in and I kept smelling. And thought, man, this dog went to the bathroom in the house. And then he'd go into another room and said, man, that smell was there. He said, every room I went into, it smelled like dog. Every room. He said, and then my wife got up and came in, and she said, what have you done? He had stepped in it outside and tracked it all through the house. You see, he thought it was somebody else. He thought it was something else, when really that smell was him. It wasn't the dog that had, well, the dog had done it, and he stepped in it. But it wasn't him. You see, we all have these different gifts. We need to stop trying to be perfect. We have to take them one at a time. Stop trying to be perfect all at once. Check this out, verse 10. He says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. Now hold on a second. He's getting ready to give us a list here of things that, as Christians, man, it's just the right thing to do. Now, let me say this. The right thing to do is not always the natural thing to do. Can I say that again? The right thing to do is not always the natural thing to do. In this, we find, as he says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. I'm just going to tell you right now, that is not natural. It's just not natural to be kind all the time. Preferring one another, it's not natural. What is natural? What's natural is to look after me. I'm preferred before everyone else. Well, that's really not the natural thing to do, or the godly thing to do. Let me say it like that. He continues in verse number 11, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Hold on. He says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Look, that's not natural, folks. I don't, if somebody's standing here and yelling at me, my natural reaction is to get a little heated and yell back and feel justified in it. Amen. How many are with me? Amen. You're all natural, just like me. But Scripture says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Hold on. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. You see, this is a lot. This is a lot to do. Can I just say, too, this is hard to do. I'm just going to tell you right here, right now, this is one of the most difficult passages of Scripture. Why? I mean, others are, they're easy. I love John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I can get with that. That's easy. But now you're talking about, I got to change? I got to transform into this? Look, folks, this isn't going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen overnight at all. We need to stop trying to be perfect all at once and know that there is a process. Notice this. Again, as he says, be of the same mind. Verse number 17, he says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And I love this. I love this next verse because he says, if it be possible, live peaceably with all, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as was in you. And man, we have all the Holy Spirit we're ever going to have. As much as is in you is, live peaceably with all men. Now it doesn't say, and we can get from the context here, it is not live peaceably with all men as long as they live peaceably with you. Amen. That's not what it says, but it does say live peaceably. If it be possible. You know why it says if it be possible? Because it's possible. It's possible when there's a transformation taking place in your life. And it is one that it meets more than the eye. It is not just a transformation on the outside. It's not about just putting on a coat and tie. It's not about wearing the right clothes. It's not about any of that. It's about the transformation on the inside. We need to stop trying to be perfect all at once and know it's a process that's going to come. Dearly beloved, verse 19, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, this process isn't going to happen all at once. It's going to happen over time. Now, that doesn't give us an excuse to sin. It's one of those things where when we pull it out and we see this is dirty, we set it to the side. When we see this is clean, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, we set it to the side, and this is what I'm going to wear. This is what I'm going to put on. This is the way I'm going to understand. We need to stop trying to be perfect. Number two, we need to know where we're going. You know, all of this is possible because Jesus saved me. That any transformation that's going to come in my life is going to become because Jesus saved me. Any transformation that's going to come in your life is going to come because Jesus saved you. I'm heaven bound. Amen. I'm going to go from point A to point B. I know I've been saved for a purpose. Amen. And my purpose, can I just tell you right now, is not Brother Scott's purpose. And Brother Scott's purpose is not Brother Clarence's purpose. Brother Clarence's purpose is not Brother Mike's purpose. Brother Mike's purpose is not your purpose. We can go all around through the room. God saved you for a purpose. I know that the Bible gives me a task. I know, though, that in this chapter, in Romans chapter 12, this purpose right here, this is for all of us. Amen. I know where I'm going, and it's important that while we stop trying to be perfect all at one time to say, oh, well, I just can't do it, so I won't even try, and that's where some of us get to. Some of us get to, well, I can't be perfect, so I won't even try, and I'll just do whatever I want and go through this thing, and, oh, I'll get to heaven one day. You know, I don't want to check out anymore, spiritually speaking. I don't want to just jump in my spiritual car and drive down the road and miss everything. I don't want to miss it. Sometimes we go through our families like that. People tell me, people have their children grown. They tell us all the time, if it's been a while since they've seen our children, they'll say, oh, it just flies by. And it does. We're learning this, you know? I can remember when we just had Chloe. Now we have four, and one day, you know, because we're raising them to leave, they're not going to be there. You know? She'll probably get married. You gonna get married? Probably. If I approve. She'll probably get married and maybe have children of her own. Abby, you gonna get married? She's like, don't talk to me, please. She'll probably get married. She used to tell us she's going to live next door. Not anymore. She's changed her mind. Asher, you getting married, son? I don't know, as long as she says yes. Justice, I'm not even going to ask, man. Not even going to ask. We didn't know where we're going. I don't want to miss it. Sometimes we can get so busy that we miss things. We get so used to the way things are that we miss things. I don't want to miss anything, even though I know where I'm going. Number three, I need to remind myself who I'm doing this for. You see, this is not for me. This is not for you. And I want to try to teach you something here, very, very important. Because when we come to church, church is unlike, and I know we've turned, our culture has turned the church into another activity. It's another activity. And when we go to activities, we want the best activity there is. I mean, if we go to a concert, we want a good concert. If we go to a movie, we want a good movie. I mean, nobody wants to see a D-budget movie. You do? Oh, you're agreeing. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm with you. Nobody wants to see a D-budget movie. I mean, they're awful. The camera angles are bad. It's just awful. Well, here's the thing with church. Folks, this is not a performance. We're not here for us. This really has nothing to do with us, in a sense. Now stay with me here. It's not about the performance. It's about how God is moving in our lives. And I'm telling you right now, if we check out and we're just flying by, we're going to miss something. We're going to miss something when we check out and we're coming to church. I know what's up next. Well, I'm just going to let you know, today you probably don't know what's happening next. Don't check out. Don't miss it. Don't just fly by in the passenger seat of life and say, well, we'll get there when we get there. No, there's so much that God has for you to do. There's so much that God has for you to do in this life that He has for you, that He wants for you. And you need to remind yourself, I'm doing this for God. Look, we're not here this morning for our families. We're here for God. We're here to have an understanding that God wants to do something in our lives. Romans chapter 12, He wants to do and perform and transform in our lives. He wants us to be kind to one another. He wants us to not be slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. He wants us to serve the Lord, to rejoice in hope, to distribute to the necessity of the saints. He wants us to be hospitable. He wants us to bless them which persecute us and curse not. Rejoice with them which do rejoice and weep with them that weep. He wants us to be of the same mind. He wants us to recompense no man evil for evil, but to be honest and provide honesty in the sight of all men. He wants us to live peaceably with all men. All men, not just the ones we like. Amen. That is the transformation. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Every head bowed, every eye closed.